Well, hello, and thank you for tuning in to Dr. Gina's radio chat. I'm so glad to be with you guys. I'm telling you, am I glad to be with you guys? It is a lot going on, you guys, a lot going on in our nation, a lot going on around in the world. It cannot be ignored. It cannot be no more silence. We need to speak and speak clearly because God is definitely telling us stuff, and we need to be alert and aware and very, very willing to speak up. I'm just so thankful to have all my friends joining me today because I know that this is going to be a great show and also just a time that we're going to just get some different perspective on things and just really be encouraged. We got the pandemic. We have, you know, just senseless murders, senseless things happening in the midst of our, you know, my culture. And so we're going to be talking about all of that during the show today. We have a full hour. We have my girl, my sister, my 20, Dr. Barbara Lowe is going to be joining us. So much going on with her. We're going to talk about all of that, just with the wonderful things that God has her doing in the kingdom, for the kingdom, for his people, and just how that's like wildfire going through the multitudes. And so I'm really excited about having her on also. And you're going to be glad she's on. So you got to stay tuned for that. Also, you know, my girl Gina G with the trending tea. We got a lot to talk about that's trending right now. So I'm going to hold my ministerial moment for that time. And then her and I are going to come. She's going to say her stuff. And then we're going to come together and say our stuff together. And I'm pretty sure a lot of you want to hear the stuff because you probably got stuff to say too. So tune in for that. And then we have Spiritually Anointed. It's a gospel group out from the South, and they're going to be joining us. AJ Savage hooked that up. So they're going to be coming on, and we're going to hear their new single, their new project that's out. So we're going to be hearing that. And then one of my favorite segments, in his presence, Minister Nicole Atkins, my girl, my sister, she's going to have her segment, and we need some of that woo-saw and silent, calm time, probably after me and Gina G finish talking. And we're going to need Spiritually Anointed, that worship music, to get us back centered. And we're going to get mad again because we're going to listen to Carla Hawkes tell us about our debt. But she's going to give us some calm and peace because she's going to teach us how it's important to have credit and establish your credit card. So I'm excited about that. So it's a lot going on and you don't want to miss it. We're going to go ahead. I was going to do the weather, but I don't want to miss another minute. Let's go ahead and take a commercial break and we'll be right back with Dr. Barbara Lowe, and she's going to be talking about a lot of stuff. I can't wait. All right. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You know Zion as a physical place of Israel, but did you know that it's also a spiritual reality in you? Bestseller author John Eckhart has strategies for you to embrace your identity as Zion, or the place where God dwells. In his book, I Am Zion, Eckhart invites you to apply the characteristics and blessings in Isaiah 60. Learn how to reach a level of faith that releases blessings, healing, deliverance, promotion, and increase. If you don't understand the benefits that are available to you, you won't seek after them. Harness the reality that you are the dwelling place of God and experience the amazing blessings that are waiting for you. Check out I Am Zion by John Eckhart, available online and where fine books are sold. Absolutely. All right, you guys. Okay, so without further ado, hi, Dr. Barbara Lowe. How are you? And welcome to Dr. Gina's radio chat.
Oh, I am so excited to hear my Dr. Gina, my twinsie, my girl.
Yes, girl. Listen, you got so many things going on. First and foremost, I love having you on the show because I love sharing. First of all, I love spending time with you and just our schedules and what God has us doing. It seemed like when we schedule interviews and chit chats amongst the people, we get two of both worlds, right? We get to spend time with each other, woo, catch up, and also bless the people. And it's really authentic, right? Because it's fresh.
Yes, girl.
And they're getting to see how we interact and how we talk and things like
Yes,
that. So
girl.
I'm so glad that you're on there. You are a psychologist, you are a life coach, just for people that don't know, a board certified life coach at that, a minister and a wife and a mother and a friend and a bestie and a sister. She's everything, okay? And she's the host of Five Live at Five, which I want you to talk about that. And you have so many other
Sure.
things. You are the founder of the 3W Summit, which is World Women's Summit. Just the first one was this year, and it's going to be annually, God willing, because you already have plans for one for next year. Let's start off talking about Live at Five, and how did this come about? What does it mean? And just tell us all about that, girl.
Sweet precious love bug, can I ask you a question first?
Sure.
How are you doing as a mother of a son who's a man of color with what we just with Ahmaud Arbery?
Well, you know what? I was so reluctant. I didn't know if you were prepared for the conversation. So I'm glad that you brought it up because I was Gina G, comedian Gina G, my friend, my best friend. She really just said to me about just how could she talk about it on the show, and you know that she was very angry. And I was like, okay, well, we're gonna do. I'll just say my ministry among we'll talk to Dr. Barbara, but I'm so glad that you brought it up because that's how real and down to earth you are, and that's why I love you so much. And that's why, you know, we're twins in the spirit for sure. I
Yeah.
feel I'm very angry.
Yeah.
I was angry when I first saw it because I saw it yesterday. I saw it like shortly, like in the morning after they started, you know, publicizing it and things like that, right when I woke up. And I woke up pretty early, in the morning, starting off with my prayer, spending time with Holy Spirit, talking to God, getting instructions, and then bam, I'm slapped in the face with this information. And I was kind of numb. It took me back because it was so unexpected, especially when we were just getting, not even getting past, we're still dealing with the information of the other incident of the shooting in Atlanta. That was held up
Yeah.
the information from February until just recently. So, you know, I already had feelings about that. And then just to have to deal with that, this, you know, yesterday morning was quite overwhelming. I'm angry because I feel like as a believer and as a Christian, in this world, in the United States, there's such a division with that, especially not only in, you know, the denominations, but it is
Yeah.
culturally. There is a
Yeah.
group of people that feel entitled, and that angers me because as a Christian, we're supposed to be one in Christ. You know, no matter our color, no matter what you know where we our economic background, no matter where we live, how we live in, as far as you know, wealth or poverty or whatever. If we're believers, we're oneness in the kingdom. And so it surprises me, you know, and just catches me. And I try to fight so hard not to be offended, Barbara, because I don't want to walk in offense. That's a sin, you know, against my God, and I don't want to do that. So whenever I feel that. I want to know where the root of it is, and it's really disappointment
It's
because I
just, it's
feel
so hard. It's so hard. I mean, I think about
it's
how
disgusting.
vulnerable, I think about as a mom, how vulnerable I feel about my children. One of my kids got into drugs for a while and he's doing somewhat better with that. And I've had a full term stillborn and just feeling like you could lose your child. Now, I say I've been through a lot of trauma for a white girl in America, and you know that that is true, but I'm still a white girl in America. I still have a lot of privilege. And just to think about how the system works against people, and then to have other people of color, and then to have people who are not people of color, sometimes not even recognize it. I just can't imagine the vulnerability, the anger, and the feeling maybe even of helplessness at times.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did you see that video of that white lady that was literally saying that the black man was like trying, was threatening her while she was on the phone with the police? Did you see that video?
No, are you
There's
talking about?
a video of a lady that is walking a dog, and the black guy maybe commented about the dog or offered the dog a treat or something.
Oh, I saw something about this where she had apologized later, but she had racially profiled him and
Right, and she kept saying African. I'm African American, African American, African American. Like, and then it intensified. The less it seemed like they were grasping what she was trying to say, the more her emotions elaborated. And that, to me, is the problem that I'm having. I'm having a problem with the deaths, but I think my frustration is that that lady looked like somebody that I would be friends with. She looked like somebody that I would go and fellowship at church with. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so
I
to
do,
think that my
honestly.
son, who would be walking down the street with his friends and see the dog and say, "Oh, your dog is so cute," and all of a sudden he becomes a threat to her, a Caucasian lady, a white lady. I mean, it's kind of that's the thing that fears me. I'm afraid of that.
Yeah, I have a friend who she's white, she's Caucasian. I realize as I talk about racial terms, everyone has a different preference. Some people like black, some people like African American. So please just forgive me if I step
Just
on toes.
girl.
But anyway, she's white, she's Caucasian. Her husband is this beautiful specimen of a black man. I mean, he does some modeling and he does some voiceover stuff. When he talks, it's like the voice of God is talking, you know. And anyway, but she literally begs him with tears and goes over with him. Hey, if a police officer pulls you over, what do? Keep your hands where you can see him, where he can see him. Because she's so afraid of losing him. And of course, they have children. And you know, so I live some of it with her. I have clients who are people of color. Of course, friends. I mean, I have many of my best friends are women of color. And we go to a very international church. In fact, our pastor is black. We would call say black. His wife is truly African, and in the sense of African. So, you know, I realize I'm white, but I see this going on around me. And having come from so much abuse and disempowerment at different times, and also living in rural Hawaii for a couple of years in my teenage years, where there was a lot of prejudice against white people, I've touched into some of these places, but I can't imagine what it would be like to be living through this day after day and to be raising a child, because I know that you're a mom of an African American son. The vulnerability,
Well,
vulnerability.
like with my son, I've been teaching him about that for a while, like since 8 years old. I've been teaching him about, police brutality, about racial profiling, about being at the wrong place at the wrong time, about, riding in cars with mischief and things like that, things that are illegal, even if he doesn't do it, or, because I've been in cars with people that did stuff around me, but I didn't do it. But once the car is stopped, you're all guilty. It doesn't matter who had the gun in their pocket. It doesn't matter who was smoking the drugs. Once the car stopped by the police, everybody is considered guilty before proven innocent. So that's right there, stuff that I've been teaching him from the beginning. But it's a lot of, I have a lot of, I don't Caucasian white. I'm like you with that, but I say white. I don't have a problem with black. My thing, I have a lot of white friends. I always have. I don't have a problem with having white friends. I have friends that want to try to understand, like you, what it's like. They want to understand. You admitted that you didn't really, you don't understand, like, because you're not that person, but you understand enough to want to know more. Like, you're just not like trying to just like ignore that it exists or ignore that it's a problem, and you do have compassion. I'm speaking to those listeners or even my friends that maybe unconsciously feel entitled. I really feel like that's something that as a believer that, you know, we should repent of. It was something that God had me repent of that I didn't even realize that I was doing that was from generational. And it was connected to racial. You know, some of us feel like if we're with the opposite race that, you know, we have that we're special. And some of that comes from, you know, generation of enslavement, you know, whereas you're in the house or you're in the field and things like that. And the Holy Spirit brought that to my spirit before I wasn't even thinking about this situation this morning. I was definitely in my prayer. But Holy Spirit, there's something to that because we have to deal with those things that are generational. It may not be something that it could be in our unconscious part of our brain that we're not conscious of, you know, openly, you know, or aware of because we don't operate like that. But when the crap hits the fan, our natural instinct will go back to whatever is rooted, I believe, in our brain. Maybe it was something that your grandmother said. Maybe it was something that you saw when you were a little kid. I mean, we're in our 50s, 40s now. We've seen a lot. So, you know, growing up and having relatives from the South, you know, ain't no telling what we done heard them say. I mean, I remember things like cracker, crab man. I've heard a lot of stuff reference to the separation in our culture, but also the separation and distinctive of separation between white and black. And a lot of it is full of anger and bitterness or resentment or frustration. And even if we've gone to an Ivy League school, even if we have 100,000 white friends or black friends, it's still something there. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure that lady did not think that she would react like that being in a park with a black man and her dog, but it was there. You know what I'm saying? That's why that's what frightens me is being unaware that you have a spirit of entitlement. So that's what that's something new now that I got to tell my son, like, you know, like you walking down the street in a park, you know, this could happen. This is wow. How do you separate that from having genuine friendships? You have to be well, connected to the Father.
Yeah. Well, I think we all should have cross racial friendships. That's how we break down stereotypes.
Yeah.
But from an epigenetic and historical trauma point, talk about that a little bit as a psychologist, if you like.
Go ahead, please.
The Bible talks about, and I'm just getting ready to teach on it. I have a course called Hearts Returning Home where I take people through the healing process, and I do weekly Bible studies for it, and I'm just getting ready to talk about scriptures like Exodus 34:7, Numbers 14:18, where it does talk about how God visits the sins down a couple generations, but he blesses us to 1,000 generations. And then Galatians 3:13 says Jesus became a curse so that the curse would be broken. And the scripture also says an undeserved curse won't rest. Now, from a scientific point of view, we know that trauma can be passed down through epigenetics. The markers on top of our genes that cause genes to either turn on or turn off, which is really interesting. Now, there can be change with our epigenetics. So we believe in faith plus therapy. So I believe in the supernatural, and I also believe in natural healing processes. Right now, I want to talk about the supernatural healing that I think that we can apply as Christians with the Word of God. I am going to have people in my course make what's called a genogram, where you kind of list out your people a couple generations back, your biological relatives, and adoptive, if they're adoptive in there as well, and look at the generational sins and then speak over those to break those. You know, Jesus said, if you speak to this mountain, you can tell this mountain to be cast into the sea. And so speaking across those generational sins, and certainly in my family, I'm sad to say, I remember two generations back, there was racism, and I used that on things he would say, and that was hard. But anyway, so breaking that and breaking that back, and then for folks that have been through historical trauma where your people have been oppressed for years and years, generation to generation,
speaking against that, breaking that in the spirit. And I'm not saying that's the whole answer, but I'm saying I do think there are some powerful tools there. And I do want to say, I don't want to switch topics, but I have some thoughts, too, about when men of color are arrested and the nervous system and why. If you want to go into that later on, by the way, just kind of bookmark that. But as far as this genetic piece and this epigenetic piece, we want to speak over that and break the power of that and line up with the clarity and the great exchange that happened through Jesus, that's all under the blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing, Dr. Barbara, that's going to really be able to help us is if we keep him in the center of it all and not take offense, even though it's very hard to. This is part of the sacrifice of our flesh and the desire mm-hmm. to see things the way God sees them. And, you know, this is an opportunity, I believe, also for people that don't understand, like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? We really need to seek him and get instructions, a strategy. I mean, a lot of people say, well, we don't have time to wait. We need to go to Malcolm X. We need to take up and fight back and this and that. And we've done that, and yet it's still progressing. I mean, this thing mm-hmm. is still progressing. It's not, we have to find out a kingdom method. And I know that sounds like a hard pill for people to swallow. And I'm going to have my girl, Gina G, come on, because we might as well just continue it on, Gina G, with Dr. Barbara. Dr. Barbara, you don't mind if Gina G joins us, because we were going to talk about this anyway. Okay, fantastic.
No,
you guys
can
meet Gina G and my girl, Dr. Yes. Barbara, my girl, Gina G, my two
Hi,
sisters
Gina.
Together.
Good morning,
Dr.
Barbara.
I think the last time I was on, Gina G, yep. I think the last time I was on, you came on right after me, so we can make it a thing.
We might as well make it a good thing, a big thing, so the listeners will see that we're coming together on this thing. At the best as we can. Maybe this could be a good example. But I know that Gina, I want to hear what Gina has to say, because Gina, yeah. Again, she was very, I mean, she's been angry since the first time. And, yeah. you know, and never got, not really got past that. Once that came to a semi-calming from the boiling over, and meaning I say simmer, that means it's still hot. She was still hot. So Gina, please let us know, and Dr. Barbara and the listeners all together, what are you feeling now? What is your side of it? And you have a son too, same year after my son, same birthday, everything. What is your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. My thought is we need to do more than pray. Mm-hmm. I think that's all we've been doing as a culture. It's something that we've mm-hmm. been taught since slavery, of course. In the Bible, it tells you to obey your master. I mean, I think we're praying. we're praying. But I take faith without work in a different term. And so although we are praying, we also need to do more. We cannot just sit and pray. As a people, our head is just, I mean, it's been down praying, and that's it. You know, and it's like, mm-hmm. I'm not a minister. I don't know the Bible front and back, so just, I wouldn't dare, you know, try to quote and make sense of things in a biblical term. But I just believe that faith without works is more than what people have interpreted it to be. And I believe that we can pray and we can fight and we can protest and we can do all of these things to see some type of change. So I hear it a lot, you know, oh my God, you know, right now all we can do is pray. No, that's not all we can do. We can do a lot more. That's why we are made in his image.
Let me intervene real quick, and then Dr. Barr, and then, because I just want to make it clear. I do believe that there's something more that we have to do. What I'm saying about is prayer is because when we do have protesters, we have people that are standing up every day. I can't remember the guy from St. Louis. He just took a break. He was a senator there fighting for what happened in Ferguson. There are so many other representatives that's fighting for the Black Lives Matter protesting and things like that. But what I mean is when we pray individually, then we can find out what direction as far as who do we connect with? Because let's face it, out of sight, out of mind. Now, this thing with the first situation that was only 2 weeks ago that we found out kind of dwindled down. We got to joking and playing on TikTok and doing other stuff, you know, not just me and you, but our culture, period. We started thinking about other stuff. And then here go another thing. And then we get mad about that. And then after that dies down, then we, you know, and I believe that's why it continues to happen. I believe that when we get into prayer, not pray about the situation, but pray about our own position, our own identity, so we can find the confidence and know who we are, so we can get up, stay up, and remain up. We keep getting up, and then we don't, and then we get mad, and we post everything, and then we go back to life as usual. Then something else happens. Well, we get mad,
yeah.
We post it, and then we go back.
Yeah, but I would say to Gina G's point that when people go through a trauma, which all this is traumatic, especially when I'm in danger of offending people, so just help me here, you know, if I say something wrong, but like your people, and I don't mean like your people because I want you to feel like I'm your people, but you know, the people who you identify with. When it's a trauma to see this going on in the news, it feels traumatic to me, and I'm white. So I can't imagine how traumatic it feels to you guys. But what I would always teach people in after a traumatic event is what can you do to help be part of the solution? That not only helps being part of the overall picture of things, it also helps you with dealing with what's going on. So I definitely think social justice and getting involved with that can not just be part of the overall solution, but part of helping ourselves feel powerless about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, right. I agree with both of you. Gina, what's your thoughts about that? I mean, just so I can, get the clarity of what I was saying by that, because I get what you're saying too.
And when I was speaking of that, I definitely did. You literally had just said it, but I've been thinking about it. So I just want, it wasn't towards, you know, what your statement that you just made, but I just think, you know, life happens and things don't take a toll of your life until it hits you in your front door.
Yeah.
So for someone that you love. So I do understand that we, you know, we'll post and all this and then we'll go back to regular life. That's because it didn't hit my son. It didn't hit my cousin.
Yeah.
It didn't hit my uncle. So that's why, because even when someone passes away, life goes on. And, you know, we do have people that are fighting for us, you know, but are we fighting? You know, there is somebody that's up here taking a stance for Flint, but I didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I can say all day, we got leaders, but what am I doing? You know what I mean? Like, am I taking a stance to do something? And just like anything they say, change, be the change that you want to be. And
yes,
I think
that's
so much bigger than what people, you know, people downplay that so much. But I think it's, you are the change when you teach your son, you teach your children, you know, you do a post, you do speak when you have an opportunity to speak, like now, you know. And I'm just, I'm thankful for this platform to be able just to say anything for anyone other than the people in my house to hear me. I am thankful for that. But we do have leaders, but I think if we all, we're leaders, you know, because we don't have
now.
Martin Luther King, we don't have Marcus Garvey, we don't have Malcolm X. They're dead. We don't even have anyone that equivalent to those men. And so, if we all became Martin Luther King and Marcus Garvey, black, white, whatever your race is, then there would be a change, you know. And all the people that have, you know, white friends that, you know, love the culture and date black men and do all these things, and then when something happens, they're silent. It's like, girlfriend, you over there with some braids. I need you to say something about this right now. I need you, you know, Susan, I need you right now as my friend. You know, you know, and we all have white friends. I mean, I would never teach my son to not speak to anyone because of their race, creed, sexual, gender, anything of the sort. He has, one of his good friends is white, and there's no way I would tell him, because this happened, don't you talk to Tripp. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I would never do that.
We're definitely not promoting any hatred
No,
definitely, because I love them. I love all my friends.
I love people. I love them all.
The fact that they love me so much that they want to have a conversation about it and learn more about it. Like, you
exactly,
know, Dr. Barbara and so many others. I want to share with you guys this story real quick that happened to me. Is really quick while we're talking about this. And thank you again, Dr. Barbara, for taking your segment.
Yes, thank you.
Because you could have been like, let's talk about Live at 5. Let's talk about everything. This is so great.
You know what?
I want to say thank you for that, first of all. That's loving of you, for real. I appreciate you for that. One time
I had a client after the Charlottesville shootings, and it had been a couple weeks, and then I saw her. She was a woman of color. And I asked her how she was doing, and she broke down and cried and said, no one's asked me.
Mm. Wow.
And so I really learned something from that, you know, and so I've learned to ask. And may I always remember.
Yeah, bless your heart for that. And that's a great example. I pray that the listeners get just, you know, that open dialogue is okay. This will help a lot. Having open dialogue with your coworkers, with your friends, your neighbors, et cetera. You know, and I do believe, Gina, before I go into the story, I do believe that the reason why we don't have the Malcolms and the Martins, because the support. We have to support those that are willing to be on that front line. They had the support, Gina. They had the churches, they had the neighborhoods, they had it. People gave up their life and sacrificed to support those that were the voice. And we have to do that. Even if it didn't touch our home, it is really touching our home, because it's coming through, it's affecting us through our television, it's affecting us through our social media, it's affecting us, it's affecting our everyday life, that we cannot roam these streets freely. You know what I'm saying? Without being harassed or looked at as, you know, as a prisoner, as a slave, as a nothing. You know what I'm saying? So I think that, you know, this is something. But the story I have, you guys, I was in St. Louis, and I was doing a photo shoot, and I had met a friend that actually had did 17 years. He was an actual drug kingpin. Totally changed his life. He went to prison when he was 17. Came out 17 years later, totally changed, went from absolute nothing to a real estate mogul in Jacksonville, Florida. Now he's a millionaire, right? Selling property, revamping and reestablishing his community that he sold drugs in. So now the community is like, yeah. And so he's friends with the mayor. He's friends with, I mean, like, God has just opened so many doors, the governor and things like that. He's a sought after spokesperson on not only real estate, but just transformation, how the power of God is able to transform. Right. So I met him in St. Louis, and we're just, you know, I'm at the photo shoot and we're having a great time. We're like, let's go sightseeing. We drove through Ferguson, you know, just to get a feel of what was happening and what's happening there. And so then we made a mistake and took a wrong exit. And we ended up in this small community in Missouri. And let me tell you, it was at dusk. We was pulled over by a white officer in this rental car. And he ran our license, ran the license of the driver, found out, you know, that he was on papers, just got out of, you know, prison maybe 3 or 4 years prior. And that was the it. So he investigated, talked to him, then switched us out of the cars and talked to me. Then he had, he said, how do you know him? I told him how I knew him and how long have you known him? Do you know this? Do you know that? And I said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I mean, as a minister, we get that. I was 20 years on drugs. So, I mean, it was not uncommon for me to meet people that was a drug dealer or any of that. You know what I'm saying? That's not uncommon for me. So it wasn't like, ooh, you know, he's an awful guy and this and that. So to make a long story short, the white police officer was on duty by himself. This is how small this community was. He was by himself, and he called another officer, had my friend handcuffed in the back of the car, and had me drive the rental car to the police station. We were at the police station, and we were antagonized, interrogated the whole time. the whole time for hours. He would not let us go. He had him handcuffed in a room and had me sitting up. I couldn't go to the bathroom without asking permission. I couldn't do anything. For that moment, when I did, I had to address him very, I didn't want to insult him. This is a lesson. You don't want to sound like you're overly educated because you don't want to offend them. The moment that you offend them, then they feel like they want to retaliate. So Holy Spirit was teaching me how to act in this situation because I've never been in this situation before. And I had to really dummy down. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I had to. It was a small country little specs area out in St. Louis, outside of Ferguson and outside of St. Louis. I won't say the name of it. But I had to like say, may I approach you, sir? I would like to use the restroom, please. And then he let me go one time. And when I was in that bathroom, I was praying to God. I said, God, I don't know if I'll ever get out of this situation, because I didn't know if they were going to plant drugs on us, because we didn't have drugs. I was a minister. This was a few years ago. I didn't have no drugs. I had been in ministry at this time maybe 15 years now. I was there for a photo shoot, and he had met me there for the photo shoot. And so I asked, could I approach? And then I said, may I approach you? I just want to know how long we're going to be here, as long as you need to be. So I didn't. So then he went back outside. I couldn't see what he was doing. I didn't know what he was doing, but I overheard him finally when another police officer came to relieve him. So it was only one police officer at a time in this place. He told him that he said that he felt like he got him a good lick. So he thought that because of his past, that he was going to be on CNN, basically. And the desperation of the fact that you didn't find anything in our car, because he did a search. You didn't find anything on us, and you held us for hours. I'm talking about 6 to 7 hours we were held in custody. I didn't know if I would ever see my son again. I didn't know if I would. Who was I going to call? I didn't have a clue. What was I going to say? I didn't know if I was going to be locked up. I didn't even know if he was planting something, because I couldn't. There was no witnesses. So I was praying and praying and praying. And God just gave me this peace over me. It was such a peace that came over me. And I knew that God was in control. I didn't know how it was going to end, but I just trusted God. And finally, when that other guy came again, after he told him that he was trying to catch a big one. And I was, this looked like we might got a big one. After he went somewhere, I don't know if he went to talk to my friend. But when that guy was sitting there, the new guy, he was Hispanic. And I said to him, I said, you can Google me. And you can see, I can even give you the number to my photographer. I'm a minister. I'm an author. I was here doing a photo shoot. And he literally went and Googled me. He literally went through all of my stuff. He took the name of the photographer, Googled him, went on his website. And then after another 2 hours of me talking to him, he was my angel, really, because the other guy was not trying to let us go. And so after all of that, he finally said, no, this is legit. She is here for this. And then he went and told me the guy that originally had us apprehended said that there's a lot of drugs that goes through that town. There's strippers and prostitution that goes there, and people come through there and have a good time and blah, 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 this and that. And that he apologized for holding us that long. And I didn't know how to feel at that moment. I accepted the fact that I was going to leave there, but I still was angry. I was angry because we were profiled.
Did the first guy
And we didn't have anything on us. And when we went to the car, you guys, the car was tore up. Do you hear me? The dog, everything was all over the place. This was a rental car. I mean, papers everywhere, the stuff from the seat, dog, it was all tore up. He was so, this is the second time he searched our car. If it wasn't for prayer at that time, I don't know how many demonic forces I stopped from implanting something in that car. That man wanted to get a lick to be on CNN.
Yeah. Did the white guy apologize or the man of color? Which one apologized?
The white guy apologized, the white man, because it was nothing. He didn't have anything on us, and everything that I said turned up. And then even said that I should come back and try to help the people there. I was like, let me get my thoughts together first before I say, I just want to get out of here first. Let me get out of here first.
I'm so sorry you went through that.
It was horrible. Gina, you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
At least when I got arrested, I had drugs on me.
I didn't have anything.
That was pre-Christ, y'all. When I lived in Hawaii, I lived in a very rural area, and they used to have something called the Kill Hallie Day, which is Kill White People Day. That's the closest I've come to that, where you really had to be careful. And there was a lot of prejudice against white people there, rightly so. All those wounds are fresher from white people coming in there. And, Hawaii, the local, I was pretty lucky that I fit in with a mixed group of local and what they would call Hallies. But what I've tried to do as a Caucasian is learn from those experiences and try to imagine what it would be like to live with that all the time. What would it be like if Kill Hallie Day was every day of my life? That would be hard. Just want to break down and cry.
Oh, wow. It's a lot. It's a lot that, we can't solve it all at this time, unfortunately. I mean, we can't. I mean, I wish we could. I wish we, could be the voice of the answer for the, millions of people that listen to the show and that's going to follow you, Dr. Barbara, and you, Gina, and myself. I mean, I wish that, we could, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, you had a very great point, Gina, you, Dr. Barbara, and me. And, I wish that it could be like, boom, it could change the hearts and minds of people. And maybe it could do something, because like the Bible says, some plant, some water, but God gets the increase. You know what I mean? And so we just have to keep doing our part. And you keep asking, Dr. Barbara, and keep being willing to learn and grow and pass the message on whatever you bring. It's like you be a vessel to pour it, as God leads you. And Gina, you keep that fire, and keep that energy. And in the community that you dwell in, the comedians and those systems there, the entertainment world, platforms are humongous. So, that fire is helpful. And, same with me, the platforms I have, it's all helpful. Oh, my God, I'm about to cry. I'm sorry.
I do believe revival is
coming.
Oh,
my God.
And I think what we want to pray for as a key marker in this coming revival is racial reconciliation and these elements of social justice and these areas to be for God to really deal with the sin area in our culture in this area. The sin of prejudice, the sin of not seeing, the sin of not hearing, the sin of not repenting. I'm in agreement. I want you guys to know that I'm in agreement with you over that. And I kind of know, I have friends who are women of color and people of color, and I kind of realize that sometimes I have to earn the right to be trusted a little bit more. And I want to say, because you were like Gina earlier, Dr. Gina, you were asking about this girl that could look like she could be your friend, and how do you know? And I think it's okay to be a little. Like Gina G said, faith without works is dead. And so you just want to see who people are. At the same time, love, trust, but there are these historical things that have happened. And so giving people a little bit of a chance to prove themselves, seeing if they ask, seeing if they can see things from your point of view. And I definitely think the only way to do that is to have these conversations.
I agree. Definitely. I agree. Well, listen, let's go ahead and turn the table real quick. We want to know, let everybody where they can follow you. I know you have the Live at 5 and you have guests on all the time. I think it's Monday through Thursday, right? Tell everybody how they can catch that. What is it about briefly? And then tell them how they can follow.
Yeah. So the best place to follow me, there are probably two best places. You can go to drbarbaralowe.com and get on my email list. And then you get notified of my Live at 5 guests who are going to be on and different programs that I have. I have all kinds of courses and summits that I offer. Dr. Gina, of course, is in all the things I'm doing.
praise God for that.
We're coming out, Wholeness Rising. Yes, we're going to be doing a Breaking Body Bondage Summit where we're going to deal with feeling good about our bodies and having good relationships with food, and the World Women's Wholeness Summit coming up. So you can go there, and also Facebook, Dr. Barbara. Just go to drbarbaralowe.com/Facebook, and you can follow me there. I'm also on Instagram, YouTube, et cetera. But if you get on my email list, you'll be notified of my podcasts, of my shows, of my program. So getting on my email list is the best at drbarbaralowe.com, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you guys about this and you guys trusting me enough to let me be part of the conversation. I'm really, truly honored.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I love it. I love you. Thank you so much. And again, go and follow her on all social media. God bless you, Twinsy.
Love you. Bye, Gina G. Bye, Dr. Gina.
Bye, darling. Take care. Till next time.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, it's just me and you. I don't know what happened, but God worked it out. Sometime I could book people and honey. Carla Hawks is not coming up. It just wasn't time for that. I didn't expect. Sometimes I just move by the Spirit of God, and the way I had it planned just didn't happen that way. I see that you posted, and I want to talk about this while we're on air, because I don't want you to be upset with me. I see that you posted on there that we've done a lot of prayer. Go ahead. I wanted you to say what you said. It says, please stop telling me.
You know, that was before you even said what you said. That was before.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. I read something before the show started, and I wasn't going to say anything, but it took over my spirit because, you know, first of all, the Bible was man-written, and you should take when your relationship with God is very important. Let me just. Before I say anything, your relationship with God is very important. And so how you interpret the scriptures, or how your pastor, because, people really go to church and, you know, really rely on what their pastor is teaching them, you know, and things of that nature. So when I, faith without works is dead is what just kept popping up in my head. And I'm thinking to myself, it can't be what everybody thinks, you know, because he didn't make things.
But what do you think that it means? Because maybe I'm confused about what.
Yeah, because some people think faith without work is it. So some people think, you know, well, I applied for this job and now I'm going to pray that I get it. So until I get the job, I need to just, you know, call and check on my application, or, you know, let me take this extra course to be ready for the job so that I'm ready when it comes to me. It's so much more. So when I say faith without works is dead, I mean, we definitely got to pray. That is the only way through life. But you cannot just sit there and pray. Once you are done praying, then you need to come up.
You're saying that people that pray, because it says in the Amplified, what is the benefit, my fellow brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no good works as evidence? Can that kind of faith save him? No, a mere claim of faith is not sufficient. Genuine faith produces good work. If a brother or sister is without adequate clothing and lacks enough food for each day, one of you says to them, go in peace with my blessing, keep warm and feed yourself. But he does not give them the necessities for the body. What good does that do? So too, faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead, inappropriate, exactly. and ineffective. So, exactly. so what I believe that God is saying when he said that to you over and over is that, okay, again, we need to not just say, okay, I'm praying. I mean, because I think we're saying the same thing. We're praying about it, but we need to be activating our faith in
that's what we're praying about. That's exactly what I'm saying.
That lines up with the word. And even though the word of the Bible is made by man, it is led by the Spirit of God. We have to have faith in that. Otherwise, everything we say is just human. If we take everything we just say is just what man is saying, then it won't benefit anybody. But if we believe that there is a Spirit of God and a Holy Spirit that operates through vessels, then the wisdom, like God gave you that as well to share with everyone, it's going to have more power because it's not
that's saying it. No,
it's Holy Spirit that gave it to you to speak on that. And that is going to be powerful and generate so much to everybody. And I agree with you 100%. I'm glad we cleared that up. And I think.
Oh, yeah, I definitely meant. That's exactly what I meant. I mean, excuse me. Like I said, I'm not an expert on the book, the good book. But
girl, so what? You are an expert.
But I just felt that in my spirit. I said, you know what? Because people just keep saying. And like Harriet Tubman said, I would have saved a lot more slaves if they knew they were enslaved.
That's the same thing.
We could save a lot more people. We could do a lot more things if they knew. So that's why I felt led to say that, okay, as a race, though, as a black race, we are conditioned to pray. Give it to God.
Until Malcolm X and them rose up. Yeah, at that time. And then when they rose up, then it kind of shifted that to being doers and of faith.
Exactly.
Because remember, Malcolm was a Muslim. And then Martin Luther King, who was a believer.
Yes.
So they both operated through a faith system with the works. Do you see what I'm saying? So it doesn't just say... Mm-hmm. that they didn't have any type of anything. They just went out there and fought. And I don't want this generation to think that they could do it without some kind of faith system.
It goes
some
hand kind in. Of a, don't go out here fighting and you ain't got no word and
I'm
you ain't got no faith.
Say.
You can't do that. Don't go out here and do that.
Yes, that's what I meant when I said to pray, because first know who you are. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Know who you are, that you are king, that you are a royal priesthood, that you belong to the Most High. And you got power and you walk in authority on earth as it is in heaven. That's what I meant by that. And then get the instructions so you can go out by force and take back out here because you know it's owed to you. It belongs to you. I want to read real quick what this lady had to say, and I reposted it on my Instagram. I reposted it from a friend of a friend. So it's not my friend who wrote it, but a friend of mine's friend. And it says, I used to sit back and see videos like this and think to myself, and I'm imagining that they're white, let's wait for all the details to come out. Now, after seeing too many videos like this to name, I'm beginning to wonder if my response should have been, maybe I should try to understand their pain. Sometimes we can be so blinded by our experience and reality that we invalidate someone else's. Today, our black brothers and sisters are experiencing another trauma that communicates to them that their lives aren't valuable. Centuries of reoccurring trauma takes its toll on a people group. Today, I choose to lay down my perceptions, my preconceptions rather, to learn from my friends of color. If we are truly the body of Christ, one pain affects us all. We aren't just the body when it's convenient. We are the body when it's hurting and broken. No more than the leg can disconnect from the arm can I disconnect my pain from that of my brethren. I'd like to share what I'm learning with you. On Thursday evening, they said, I'm going to do an Instagram live with my friend, Dr. Anita Phillips, and invite you to join us. This has to change. And so, everybody's trying to open up the dialogue because they feel like this has to change now. And I reposted that because I wanted my friends of all races and even my culture to know that, you know, that there is people that do want to learn, and everybody is not, you don't have to follow the status quo. You don't have to be hatred about it, but be angry enough to make a change. What do you think, Gina?
I think that white people, if you say that you're not racist, then you need to speak your mind, period. Period. You can claim that you're not racist all day long, but until you speak and do something about it, you racist.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what I got to say about it. Because of the sim, I'm not saying, because to me, we, Gina, it's human beings. They're not black. They're not Mexican. They're not that is a human. That is someone's son. That was someone's father. That was someone's provider. Now that family is no longer getting food on the table because this man is gone. It is a human being. They have treated us like animals, black people as animals from day one when we built this country. I'm getting ready to go because I feel myself. But all I want to say is, if you have an ounce of any love, Jesus, anything in your body, any race that you are, it is time to stand up. Because I don't like the fact that in the good book, it states that this Jesus now, okay, had hair of wool and feet of brass. And if that ain't a black man, then don't say nothing else to me.
Well, he's a man of color for sure.
For sure. Anybody that can be in Egypt in that hot sun and not turn into a cherry tomato had some color to him. So that's why I say that the devil is busy, but he will not win. And those that are last will be first. And I put that on my bottom line.
And the first shall be last. I just read that scripture this morning. This morning. So we're going to bring that to full circle to that confirmation. Cause I was just like, Lord, we just took over the show with the situation, I believe that it was purposeful and I believe that it was in God's will because like I said, I just read that scripture just this morning. And I'm going to end that on that. I thank you so much for your transparency. Gina, I thank you,
thank
Dr. Barbara, for spending your whole hour with us talking about this. I mean, you were very transparent and very open, you know, and tried to relate all you could. I appreciate you so much for doing that. If you're still listening and to the listeners that's listening, you know, thank you for listening. And listen, like I said, it brought tears to my eyes because I've always wanted unity. You know, in my spirit. And that's just, you know, something that's of God. There's no reason behind it but him. So anyway, nobody came on but us. Carla said she couldn't make it. Carla said she couldn't make it. She apologized and that she would, you know, she definitely profusely apologized for that. And the other group had some, their manager just said that they it was his fault, and so that they will reschedule. But you know, it's nothing but God.
Nothing but God.
And I love this is what this show is all about. Just moving by. It's his show because I didn't have a dime when he told me to start it, and not a clue. He said to start a show called Dr. Gina's Radio Chat, and I was like, how do I do that? And I started searching on the internet and ran into BBS Radio, and I've been with them now. And Gina, you've been with us for 3 years now, right? Because we've been on air now for five. It'll be five in August.
We family, honey. Y'all stuck with me.
Yeah, and we've been growing ever since. So, yeah, I mean, and this is what it's all about. So, anyway, we got to go because I'm finally on time. But anyway, we follow Gina G on social media at Gina G. What?
Gina G Too Funny.
All right, and she's going to post, you know, connect with her because she's going to be the next Malcolm X's, I would say. Because I think you got it in you, though, Gina, really. I mean, you could, even if it started off something medium, and notice I didn't say small, something medium to being extraordinarily huge. I mean, you know, you could start something and pass the baton. But anyway, live healthy. You guys follow me on everything. Gina R. Prince, Dr. Gina R. Prince, Dr. Gina R. Prince, Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Love you guys. Until next time, live healthy, live whole. Mm-hmm. Oh God, y'all. Woo! Live healthy and stay strong. Fight the power in Jesus' name. I love you guys. Amen. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Dr. Gina's Radio.